AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that is spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
When I write y'all, all across the USC, Compton, Watts, Bay to LA, Pomona, California, from valley to valley, we represent that killer Cali. So if you keeping it real on your side of your town, you tune in to Gangsta Chronicles.
Gangsta Chronicles, we gon' tell you how it goes.
If I lie, my nose will grow like Pinocchio. We gon' tell you the truth and nothing but the truth.
Gangsta Chronicles, this is not your average show.
You're now tuned into the real MCA, Big James, and Big Stale.
This is strictly from the streets.
Hello.
We represent the streets.
We'd like to welcome everyone to another episode of the Gangsta Chronicles podcast. I think we all remember the movie American Me, and I think most of all we remember the ensuing controversy surrounding the movie. A lot of people wound up getting murked. A lot of people wound up getting beat up. It was just a lot of mess with the movie, it seems like. And a lot of people haven't talked about it, man, but we have a guy here today that has a whole podcast dedicated to the American Me movie and the aftermath of things that happened. Alex Famero.
That's right. Yeah, man. Thanks. Thanks for having me, Norm. I appreciate it.
Oh, for sure, brother. So what made you decide to investigate this?
Man, you know, honestly, it started by me hearing Danny Trejo promote his autobiography. He was doing kind of the rounds on podcasts and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about how in this movie, American Me, which is a movie directed by Edward James Olmos, super respected. If people know who EJO, they've seen him, right? It's like mm-hmm. Stand and Deliver, Battlestar Galactica, Miami Vice. This guy's, he's one of the most...
prolific actors around.
Yeah, prolific and just legendary, mm-hmm. right? Like, he's our Denzel, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
And this was his directorial debut. So Trejo starts doing all these podcasts and telling this story about how up to 8 to 10 people may have been murdered in connection with the making of this movie. And I was like, what? And I didn't grow up here, right? Like, I grew up in Miami. I'm Latino. I'm Cuban. But I grew up, this is a Chicano story, right? So if you grew up in LA, mm-hmm. this is a movie you have not only seen, you've watched it to death. You know all the characters. Like, you know, but for me, it's like, it's a movie I'd seen, I was aware of, you mm-hmm. know? But not something that was like built into the fabric of my culture. So when I'm hearing this backstory, these are rumors that now I know that the people who grew up in LA, they've been hearing this the whole time. But for me, this was news. And then Trejo's book comes out mm-hmm. and there's an entire chapter called American Me, in which he talks about meeting with Edward James Olmos, who wanted to, like, I guess, you know, Trejo, it was an associate of the Mexican mafia. Means he wasn't in it, but he was sort of down with everybody and he was respected. So he met with Edward James Olmos for a part, maybe, or maybe just to like suss out some of the behind the scenes stuff before the movie was made. And he just started telling these kind of stories that sounded strange, you know, sounded wild. And I really wanted to get down to, and then I started looking for Edward James Olmos's response to this stuff, right? Like, what did he said over the years about this? And man, it's like not a peep, you know?
And he said, I'm pretty sure the things he went through before playing a major role in him not responding to this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that is the thought, right? Like, we interviewed a lot of people for this podcast. And it seems like, we've been trying to figure out, and I'm not, you know, I don't want to spoil anything. People got to listen to the podcast, but it's either Edward James Olmos has just decided that he's never going to bring this up again, mm-hmm. or there's like some sort of a street NDA, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah,
some
for
sort
sure.
of a street non-disclosure agreement that happened, because the other rumor, right, is that he paid a big extortion ransom. That was That's the other thing, that he was threatened. And that he had to pay an extortion ransom. And we have records, you know, of him filing for a concealed carry permit, right? At the time that this was going down. We have testimony in other court trials where people have sort of flipped and then brought up the details behind this case. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, behind all of this, you know, to me, the most unfortunate thing is when you look at this, when you take all the gangster stuff out, what you have is a movie with the most legendary Latino actor at the time, mm-hmm. getting to direct a movie that stars Chicanos, that's made by, where the crew is Chicano, right? Mm-hmm. About a Chicano culture and neighborhood. This should have been our Godfather. You know what I mean? Like, this should have been the thing that it's like, oh, and then this guy became our Al Pacino and this guy became our Robert De Niro. And Edward James Olmos is now our sort of like Martin Scorsese, and he's making 20 of these movies. And that didn't happen. And I think a lot of the reason that it didn't happen has to do with the fallout that came after.
Well, you know, the thing is, like you mentioned, that you are a Latino, but you're from the East Coast.
Yeah.
The thing is, that's what I tell people. Being a Latino is not binary.
No.
It's like you have the Puerto Ricans that grew up in New York and Miami. It's a whole different dynamic on the totally. West Coast, because everything is influenced by gang culture, so to speak. Not everything, but a lot of things. And I think this was one of those things that would be heavily influenced by gang culture, that, you know, you have one guy in the penitentiary that decides to make a phone call and it's going down.
Yeah, you know, like the lore we grew up with, the kind of hood lore that we grew up with, was all around the cartels, right? And the mm-hmm. cocaine trade. Like I grew up with guys straight up whose like parents were killed because they were laundering money for the cartels, or you know, or whose parents were involved in drug trafficking. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So we grew up, the exaggerated movie version of that shit is Scarface, obviously, which I, maybe that's next season. I have a bunch of problems with Scarface, but it's, that was more our lore, less the street gang and prison gang thing, which you really experience out here. And from what I've come to understand, La M at the time, and maybe still now, were like the baddest motherfuckers around.
Oh, they still are very much a factor. It's like, we've had episodes, and I won't speak too much on them, but we've had episodes where we've interviewed hitmen.
Yeah.
And, you know, got phone calls later on, the episode can't come out.
Yeah.
And, you know, we may have spent a lot of time editing this stuff and, you know, yeah. really good material, but, you know, people's lives are at stake. So it gets real. And that's why we decided to move away from some of that stuff, because it's just too much sometimes.
Yeah. And in this podcast, you know, we're not, we want to get down to the closest thing we can to the truth of what really happened. But we're not terribly, look, we have two things working in our favor. One is that this was 30 years ago. This is the 30th anniversary of the movie coming out. So it's been a minute, you know? Mm-hmm. But the other thing is that, like, we don't need to put people on blast in order to sort out what's not real and what might be real, mm-hmm. right? Fortunately for us, and very recently we had a conversation with a subject who will not and cannot be named, who was a former heavy in La M, and who basically told us that, you know, in his opinion, Edward James Olmos has nothing to worry about these days. You know, he did at a point in time, but that these days he doesn't. And the reason that I make that a point is because I can tell you, man, and you know this making podcasts, I have talked to almost every single person who was involved in the making of this movie. Mm-hmm. And I cannot tell you how many, like an overwhelming amount of them have told me, I won't talk about this because primary reason, I don't want to get Edward James Olmos hurt. That's what people are talking. That's the impact that these events left. They scarred people 30 years and they still think that Edward James Olmos' life could be in danger if they say anything about
this. Well, you know what? Me living in Los Angeles, I'm originally from Cleveland, Ohio, but I've been out here since 1988.
Okay.
And I'm an old man now, of course. it's real, man.
Yeah.
It's real. And I tell people sometimes, like, the stuff you hear, like, we just had a guy yesterday that was murdered having lunch or dinner at a restaurant with his wife. He had jewelry on and he was killed, man. You know, they just didn't rob him. They took his life from him, so... L.A. street culture, man, is like a whole different level, man, because they don't give a fuck about who you are, how famous you are. Fame doesn't body protect you. It doesn't matter who you really know out here, because there's no king of Los Angeles, so to speak. So it's almost like anybody can get it if you're in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Sure. Yeah. But you know, something really interesting that I think we've discovered or come across is just that, like, I think the I think people don't understand how much of this is a business. You know what I mean? Like, these dudes are smart and sophisticated. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of their operations are run the way, I mean, Fortune 500
companies
are run, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't, it's not the type of thing where they're like, you know what? I think today's a good day to put a hit on a super high profile civilian. You know what I mean? You got to do something to merit that, or there's got to be a check, right? There's got to be some money in it, right? And I think that's the situation that Edward James Olmos found himself in, is he made some creative decisions and took some creative liberties that in any other context would just be making a movie, you know? Mm-hmm. But he did it. He messed with the wrong guys. And then those guys, they didn't like a lot of that shit.
Well, I'm sure he got texts.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he got before the movie came out, they were requesting the script. You know, I mean, that was a question I had. I was like, are these guys really like reading the script?
And it's, they're like, dialed in. Oh, because how did they know the movie was being made?
What's that?
And they knew the movie was being made, huh?
Oh, hell yeah. You know, partially why though, because the two reasons. Two really cool things about the movie that unfortunately have sort of been overshadowed because of all this stuff and are related to it is, one, this movie took real gang members from Ramona Gardens and Boyle Heights and cast them as actors in the movie. Mm. And we're talking about rival gang members, right? Members of the Hazard Street Gang, for example. And these guys were acting in the movie as characters. The second amazing thing is that Edward James Olmos managed to shoot. He claims it was the first time. I haven't been able to corroborate that yet, but I also haven't been able to prove it wrong. But he claims it was the first time ever that a movie was shot amongst Gem Pop in Folsom Prison. And he had real prisoners acting in that movie. And you can see all of this in a documentary that was made simultaneous to the movie called Lives in Hazard. It's actually on YouTube, not the best copy of it, but it's on YouTube. And I spoke to these filmmakers. And so he did this. So of course the gang was going to know. I mean, allegedly, Edward James almost reached out to Joe Morgan, who's, you know, one of the characters is named JD. He's a white guy in a gang called the Mexican Mafia. Like, you know, it's like people associate that with Joe Morgan. He reached out to Joe Pegleg Morgan, who was one of the most famous members of La M, to ask for permission. And from what we've heard, Edward James Olmos says he got permission. Danny Trejo says he didn't get permission. And this third source says they never even had the fucking meeting because Joe Morgan was like, get the fuck out of here. I'm not talking to this guy. You know, so of course they knew because they had to know.
So let me ask you this, man. With Joe Morgan, right? Let's say, because I'm going to tell you, this is a possibility of what could have possibly happened. Let's say he went to Joe Morgan, cut a deal with him, and, you know, possibly gave Joe Morgan some money. If Joe Morgan's higher-ups heard about this, they could have possibly got pissed off at Joe Morgan and said, what the fuck are you doing? We're not allowing him to do that. And that automatically cancels out or nullifies any deal he may have made previously.
It's very possible, but here's the thing. One, the logistics of it sound like, and we get into this in the podcast, people will find out, but like there are logistical reasons why that's not possible, right? Mm. And the second thing is, Edward James Olmos, you know, I can share this. I think a lot of people who are gonna listen to this podcast have seen the movie. There are scenes of pretty graphic sexual assault, male on male, on the main character of the film.
And nobody who's supposed wants to share to
be,
that.
No, who's supposed to be based on a real badass dude who helped found the gang named Cheyenne, Rudolfo Cadena. And that's Santana. That's Edward James Olmos' character. And so I don't think they're ever going to fucking rubber stamp that movie, right? Because they're like, yo, first of all, this didn't happen. Second of all, what the fuck? You know what I mean? You're using this as a way to emasculate us, right? And that goes to the whole motive for why the movie was made. Because the movie was made as a piece of propaganda. It was made because Edward James Olmos was seeing the bloodshed on the streets of Los Angeles for 10 plus years, you know? Remember, this is 1992. This is the Rodney King riot year, you know what I mean? Like, the Los Angeles is a powder keg of violence at that time. And Edward James Olmos is like, I want to do something that encourages kids not to join these gangs. But his strategy was flawed, right? His strategy was, I'm basically going to say things about these really serious guys that are going to make them look bad in ways that they're not going to be happy with. And he took that risk and it did not pan out.
Yeah, those dudes don't play no games.
No, they don't, of course.
Those guys don't play no games, man. I won't mention any names, but I have, I know someone who was doing some business with them, you know, drugs, whatever. His actual higher up, like the guy that was over him, actually snitched on him and put everything on him, and he couldn't say a word.
Wow.
Couldn't say a word for fear of his life. And he's been in there for maybe the past 25 years for some shit he didn't do.
I mean, look, This is something that I've also learned. Honor is very important to these guys. And loyalty is very important to them. I mean, I have heard of instances involving this film where one guy took the rap for something that another guy did just because he's his brother, protect him, you know. And, you know, one of the rumors, for example, this is a good example. One of the rumors is that there was a bounty on Edward James Olmos' head, right? Mm-hmm. The mafia was like, anybody who kills this guy will get money. That's not how it works, right? Like, that's not how it works at all. because the mafia will kill someone for the, as it was put to us, for the honor of being able to sort of defend the name of the org and the org itself. Mm-hmm. You don't need to put a bounty on someone's head.
They don't need to put a bounty on anyone's head.
They don't pay anybody to kill anybody.
If they want somebody dead, they have people to go carry out their function, their specific job function.
Correct.
Let me ask you this. Have you guys been worried about any kind of retribution towards your way with doing this podcast?
A lot of people have asked us that. Obviously, I don't want any, but our approach is to be very respectful of the folks that are involved, to treat them as they are, which are human beings, and again, to try to understand what it is they actually do, and what they don't do, what's rumor and what's not, and let them tell their own story, like all the stuff that I'm saying is stuff that I'm kind of coming to understand, but I'm still not an expert and I'm not these guys. And, so we're trying to approach it with a level of respect, and we're trying to avoid speculation, right? Like the other thing is that a lot of this stuff is public record at this point, there's nobody's being slandered. Nobody's being defamed, right? And I'm not having opinions about the actions of specific people or members of the organization, So that's been our approach. And a lot of the podcast is also about the movie, right? Like it is about this stuff behind the scenes. But it's also about like what could have been with this film and what did happen with, like, a beautiful thing that happened with this film is some of these guys who acted in the movie, one in particular has a great story, but some of these guys, their whole lives changed because they participated in this movie. One guy in this movie became a casting director. He went from being a member of the Hazard gang to becoming a casting director in Hollywood.
Oh, that's a beautiful thing. Now, who is this guy? Can we say his name?
Yeah. His name is Gil. He became an extras casting person and an actor himself. You can see it in the Lives in Hazard, Gil Spinoza, in the Lives in Hazard documentary. It starts there, but I spoke to his partner of like his business partner of like 20 years, who was the extras. He was a young guy, the assistant extras casting guy who helped cast Gil in that movie, a white dude from Ohio actually, and then Gil went to work with the casting record they both worked for, and then they branched out and started their own firm. And he talks about it in the doc. He's like, "This has changed my life,"
That's incredible. Yeah. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to talk about some of the other things that may have happened to people that worked on American Me.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that is spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR positive HER2 negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk?
get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure. To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Gangsta Chronicles, we'll be right back. Okay. We just talked about some of the guys that changed their lives for the better in the making of this film. Did we have anyone that suffered the opposite backlash?
Well,
not to give too much away, because I know you got
no. But there's certain stuff, folks. Look, this is what is most commonly known about the film. It's not a secret. There were at least three people whose murders are connected to the making of the film. And I think the word connected is very important. Because what we don't know is whether they were killed because they participated in the film. One of them, very famously, for example, is a woman named Ana Lizárraga. Ana Lizárraga, from one end of the spectrum in the community, was a very respected woman who was a gang interventionist. Mm. From the other end of the spectrum in the community, she was a snitch, you know, a woman who had really provoked and upset a lot of folks who I certainly wouldn't want to upset, you know. So Anna comes into this movie as a gang consultant, right? So The question that we had to ask was, is this movie the reason that she got murdered? She was shot, I think, 13 times in her front yard. Mm. One of her assailants was captured, and he was a member of the Mexican Mafia. And so the question is, was it this movie? Was this the straw that broke the camel's back? Or did the movie really play almost none, if no role, you know, in the killing? But there are a lot of arrows pointing, let's say, from the movie to why she got to the point at which she got killed. She got killed just a couple of months after the movie came out. Right. Mm-hmm. So a few months after the movie came out. So did, you know, a guy named Rocky Luna, another guy named Charlie Manriquez. So we know these three folks who are all associated with the gang world, right? And with the Mexican Mafia, ended up dead after the making of this. And this, you know, the rumor mill is like, oh, it's because they were in the movie. Well, you know, as we dig into this, it's not quite so simple, you know?
Yeah, for sure. You know, one of the things I found interesting is that according to California State Police documents and court records, American Me is considered historical fiction, the raw and epic tale of one Hispanic man's journey through the California prison system. I call shenanigans on that stuff right there because, you know, it's a true story, correct?
I would say it isn't. You know, I would say it isn't because I think Edward James almost wanted people to think it was, but like in full respect of, again, Cheyenne, Joe Morgan, mm-hmm. other people who are associated with the film, that's not their story. You know, a lot of details in that story were completely made up. you know?
That's what I was going to say. Do you think the reason this guy may have had the problems he had was because he took the liberty of embellishing maybe a little too much?
100%. 100%. I think that had to do with it. You know, we get down to artistic liberty here and like what, you know, because from what I've heard, members of La AME actually liked the movie. You know, I mean, that movie in many ways expanded the knowledge of their like brand in a way.
For sure.
You know, there's the old expression, all press is good press. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But they took issue with this idea that this shit was like based on members of the gang, because it's just so much shit was made up. And so clearly
if you ask the average person that has seen this movie, they think it's real life stuff. They think it's a biopic, man, about the Mexican mafia, man.
Well, and I think that's where the problem comes
exactly.
in.
Exactly. I can see why these people would be pissed
and
off.
And let me tell you, the original script made no mention of the Mexican mafia. The script had been bouncing around for a long time. In fact, at one point, Al Pacino himself was attached to play the lead role. And then after Scarface, it sort of became like politically incorrect for this Italian guy to go. He played a Cuban, now he's going to go play a Mexican, you know. Mm. But it bounced around for a while, and then it finally came across Edward James almost at a time where his star was really rising. You know, he got nominated for Stand and Deliver for the Oscar, mm-hmm. For playing Jaime Escalante, and so it was his idea to root it in East LA, and thereby rooting it in this gang that had ties to that area, but. Had he not done that, it would have been Blood In, Blood Out, right? Like, which is another movie that came out just 1 year after that didn't have any of the consequences.
Well, that's what I was going to say. If you notice the difference between the two, because there have been several, you know, Mexican, you know, movies about the Chicano experience, right? Yeah. And none of them garnered the criticism that American Me did. Yeah. Like I haven't heard about anybody from Boulevard Nights getting smoked.
No.
I haven't heard about anybody from Blood In and Blood Out getting beat up or somebody getting taxed. But with this guy, I think he probably just told a bunch of lies and stuff that probably wasn't necessarily true.
Well, and I think it's the quality of the lies. It's the type of lies that he told, you know? They're just, the big question for me is, could you have made a movie that dissuaded kids from joining gangs without making stuff up about very specific people?
See, I always think that people sometimes have an agenda when they premise everything, or we're going to try to use this to stop kids. I think, man, everybody's trying to make money. They're trying to make the most salacious piece of content that they can that's going to get the most attention. And I think it was one of those things, well, if I attach the Mexican mafia's name to this, it's sure to blow up. But I don't know if he knew the consequences would be what they were.
It's possible, but we explore that angle in the podcast too. And, you know, one thing I have to say about Edward James Olmos, aside from being very talented, is that he is a guy who sees himself, I think, first and foremost as an activist and secondly as an actor. He's also made decisions in his career that have had the opposite effect. For example, we heard that he was offered the role in The Line of Fire, the one with Clint Eastwood where he plays the Secret Service guy protecting the press. They wanted Edward James Olmos to play the John Malkovich character. And it was like a pretty meaty part, you know? And I don't know if, I think Malkovich might have been nominated for that role even. But Edward James Olmos said no, because he's like, I'm not going to put this face, a Chicano, Latino face and name, as a character that's trying to assassinate the president, right? So like, to me, there's a guy who's turning down high profile, buzzy opportunities because he really believes in the cause, you know? I just think that sometimes people, I actually think it's the opposite problem, if I'm honest with you. I think had he just told a good story, it might have had the effect he wanted to, but none of this would have happened. Instead, he decided to make like a PSA, you know, by the way, a really well-made PSA, because it shot beautifully, it acted beautifully, you know. And because of that agenda, I think that's what screwed him up.
Yeah, man, you know, because we had some bodies drop because of this. You know, the guy, Charlie Brown Manriquez,
yeah.
you know, who was a Mexican mafia member and a unofficial, I guess he was an unofficial like consultant to the film or whatever. Yes. He got murdered, you know, inside of the projects. And, you know, and he was in the project that was a MA stronghold.
Yeah.
So he got gunned. Then we got your lady that you talked about, Anna.
Anna Lizárraga, yeah.
Yeah. How do you say your last name?
Lizárraga. Lizárraga.
Yeah. Yes, you have to say it that way, man, because if I try to roll the R's like you, I'm going to mess it up.
Lizárraga. Yeah.
You know, she was murdered. Then you got the guy, another guy that was.
Rocky Luna.
Yeah, Rocky Luna.
Yeah.
That was murdered, man. You know, and you have so much death surrounding this movie, man. This man obviously pissed somebody off. Somebody was mad.
But that's only...
Allegedly, if they had something to do with it, because we can't go around saying that...
This is the thing. That's only if
don't
you
murder
think,
people, you know what I mean?
Well, and that if they did murder people, that it was because of the movie, right? Because each of those folks, when you start to dig into their backstory a little bit, were doing things that were not popular, right, with the Mexican mafia, things that were often seen as either, you know, degrading or treasonous, you know, and like we've said, you know, these are men that take their sort of honor in the name of that organization very seriously. So, you know, there are consequences for those actions.
You know, have you guys got to talk to any members on the podcast? Do you guys talk to any of the members of the Mexican Mafia?
We talked to one member so far. We're still rolling out episodes, believe it or not. We talked to one member so far. His interview will be off the record, and in fact, we're gonna get an actor to basically portray him. Because he would like his identity kept very secret.
I don't blame him.
No, me neither. But yeah, he was a former high-ranking member of La M who had direct knowledge of this situation.
Wow. So I'm looking at this, right? The Mexican Mafia's current, I guess, Orange County boss. So they have a separate boss in Orange County than they do L.A. County?
I don't know, actually. I'm not sure.
Are you familiar with this guy, Peter De Fury Ojeda?
No, I'm not.
Okay, it says that he's in the thing right now, but that's the thing, man.
It's a pretty big organization.
Yeah, it's a huge organization because I'm looking at they have an Orange County boss. Orange County is not small.
No.
That means they have someone in L.A. You have so many different factors that was a very ambitious undertaking from the beginning for him to attempt to do this movie because you have so many different factions, man. And all it takes is one person to get pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
You can go get 50 million yeses from everybody else, but if you don't get the right yes, you can pretty much put people's lives in danger.
Yeah, you can. I mean, but you know, then the other sort of issue we wrestle with a little bit in the podcast is like, so, and I'm not saying this is what happened in this situation, but you do have situations where people make a piece of art and then they get killed because of that piece of art, right? I would argue that this situation is different because this piece of art is like naming specific people. It's, you know, it's almost as if I talk shit about your brother or your friend, right? It's a little different. But when you look at what happened in France or the whole Charlie Hebdo thing where like you put an image of, you know, the Prophet Muhammad on something and then people get killed, where is the line with creative license? Where does the artist, where should the artist stop, right?
Man, with us doing both what we do for a living, I think the line with creative liberty should be shut down when it puts people's lives in danger.
I mean, I understand.
You know, it's just something because I love art, man. I'm all about telling a great story. I think that's why we both do what we do because we're all about telling the story. But when you know that the story that you're telling could possibly piss some people off and possibly put your own family in danger, you put yourself in danger, you put those around you in danger, I think it's just some stories not worth telling.
I mean, look, I've done a couple of projects already where there have been people involved You know, the last project I did for HBO Max is called Menudo Forever Young, right? It's about the boy band Menudo, seemingly like, haha, funny 80s, like guys in Lycra pants, you know? That story involves an unfortunate amount of physical, emotional, and sexual abuse that happened to those kids. And we don't hold many, you know, we don't really hold back in terms of the way we, you know, talk about the folks who perpetrated the, or who allegedly perpetrated those things on those kids. I think that the problem for me is when you tell a story that A, isn't true, and B, that you, I mean, look, he went to such great lengths to make American Me look real and feel real. And then you're going to change details. I don't know, man. You know, like, it would have been a very different story had he actually gotten the blessing of the people involved.
And that's what I'm saying, man. I think as creators, we have to take a responsibility. We can tell the greatest story in the world, but especially when you're documenting something that's, you know, real, you want to tell the truth.
Yeah.
You don't want to embellish anything. You want to tell the truth, and you want to try to take, you want to be, you don't want to ever get your creativity stuff stifled, but I think it's our responsibility to always portray people in the way they want to be seen and make sure they're cool with that.
I agree. I mean, I think, look, hindsight is 2020. I think Edward James Olmos is, I mean, look, he's someone I really respect. And I think that his heart was in the right place when he was making American Me. I just think that, especially coming from a documentary standpoint, I don't like to, I think you got to treat everybody like everybody's a human being, right? I don't 100%. Care. I don't care if you ended up in a gang or you ended up in a convent, right? Like, we all had the experiences, the environment. You see this in the documentary Lives in Hazard, where these kids didn't grow up with role models, you know, or they did grow up with role models. The only people willing to sort of like help them out and take them in were other guys who were maybe, you know, up to things that weren't legal, but they cared for these people like no one else did. And so I think you need to approach things from that kind of human standpoint. And I think some of the decisions that were made creatively didn't really offer these guys, they didn't do them justice in that way.
You know? And that's 100% because you think about it, man. And this is one of the things where I tell my guys when we're interviewing kind of like the guys that were the big gangsters, so to speak, from back in the day. Some of these guys are pastors now.
Right.
Some of these guys are fathers, they're husbands, they're truck drivers, they got good jobs.
Yeah.
And they don't want necessarily what they did 30, 40 years ago put on blast in front of everybody. Yeah. You have to really be respectful about that because some people grow past the bullshit.
Yeah.
And they want to be pretty much, they don't want their kids to find out that their dad was Big Bear from 111, you know, that was smoking everybody.
No, look, we talked to Milton Grimes, who was one of Rodney King's attorneys, and he was also one of Joe Morgan's attorneys. And I asked him, what was Joe Morgan like when you met him? And he said, honestly, it's like meeting a grandpa, you know? I mean, like, you know, it's like, it could have been anybody's abuelo, you know, when he met him. And that, like, I think that's what gets lost a little bit in these conversations is like, you're trying to save the next generation, but you're also forgetting that the people you're talking about were the previous generation. Like, you know, they're the same. They're just people.
And, you know, it's a lot of politics on the West Coast, so I'm not going to get into too much stuff. But from what I understand, and I'm pretty sure you guys are going to correct me if I'm wrong, like you always do, I think the Mexican mafia was started in order to protect the Mexicans that were being taken advantage of in the country when they first came in.
I don't know that that was, I don't know that it's, that it was so one for
well,
one.
Well, I don't know
but
for
it
Mexican
is,
mafia, but for some of the gangs.
No, no, but it, like, but you're not, I think, you know, the movie starts off with the Zoot Suit Riots, right? And those types of events definitely played a role in why those communities organized to create protection and power. Yeah, you have, you have, let's call it how it is. You have white, Anglo, wealthy people coming into those neighborhoods and doing as they please. And the police apparatus and the carceral state have complete power over those folks. So what the fuck else are they going to do? Of course, they're going to organize to protect their own. Does it, you know, I'm always struck by the, I like to learn about the business aspects of these things, because what they show me, whether you think they're legitimate businesses or not, is that these are folks who don't see regular opportunities for upward mobility. You know what I mean? Like, I was fortunate. My mom and dad were poor as fuck. My mom grew up, you know, they when they came from Cuba, they didn't have anything. I didn't grow up like that. I could go to school. I could study. I could go to get a college education. You know, a lot of these guys that we're talking about, they weren't afforded the same shit that I was afforded. And so they're creating opportunities for upward mobility.
Exactly. Exactly.
Who can blame them when you look at it like that?
And you have to be sensitive to that. We just can't go out and portray people as just monsters.
No.
Without kind of putting some of the backstory to it, you know?
Yeah.
Because everything is not, I like to say that, man, the Mexican culture, the Latino experience, the Black experience is not a monolith, man.
No.
Everybody's experience is different. Like your parents, they came from the situation they came, they wanted to do better for you and your siblings, right? They didn't want you to go through the same stuff. Same with me. When I came out here, man, from Ohio, I had maybe $100 in my pocket. Mm. 18 years old, I was scared to death, but I knew if I stayed in Ohio, I was going to wind up in prison, dead, or I just knew it wasn't a life back there for me.
Right.
It wasn't a life. The only option we had back there was selling dope.
Yeah.
That was it. And I didn't want to do that. So I said, you know what? I don't know what the hell is going to happen in California, but I play football good enough to where I'm pretty sure I can make some things shake.
Yeah.
So I was on my way. And I think that's the same thing. I think we just had people looking for opportunity.
I think so. And look, to be fair, when I look at the performances of the guys in that movie, I think there's a lot of humanity in those performances. You know?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I look at Danny Villarreal, Danny De La Paz, Jacob Vargas, all guys we talked to in the podcast, Edward James Olmos's performance. Like, there is a lot of humanity in those performances. The problem happened in the script, right? The problem happened in the script. And that's the point at which there's some dehumanization, because you're using someone's identity, basically, and you're twisting it to an end that maybe you think is well-meaning, but that they see as very harmful. So, I don't need to compare it to other movies, but I will say that movie brought a lot of heart and a lot of complexity to the characters that were in it. And I think that's part of why it's endured, and part of why I think it's heartbreaking. Because I see these great performances, I see this great cinematography, I see all this stuff, and I go, God damn it, like, what could have been if not for all this other mess?
Man, you know? It's a tragedy, because you know the one thing that always struck me about that movie is every time I watch it, I wind up, now I've seen it about 20 times, but every time I watch it, I see something different, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know what the real sad part about that movie was the dad was so beat down.
Yeah.
You know, the father, he was just so beat down at some point. Because, you know, you figure he had to raise the son of the man that raped his wife, his girlfriend, right? So he was
another thing that, by the way, was a made up fact that was, you know.
Yeah, something that was embellished, you know. So, but I mean, think about
embellishment.
It. The guy, you notice he was from the same gang, the dad.
Yeah.
He had the same thing on, and he's watching his young son go out. And he's trying to tell him to stay in the house. And he's not even a factor at this point. That kid is going to go do what the fuck he wants to do. He's going out there. And he has this big-ass hammer. And he's hoofing the paint and shit. And he just, you know, starts dumping. So it's a whole new cycle. But let's go into the podcast some, man.
Yeah.
The American Me podcast, correct?
More than a movie, American Me.
Hopefully. More than a movie, American Me. Yeah. When is this premiere?
It premieres Thursday, September 15th on iHeart or wherever you get your podcasts. The first two episodes will drop on Thursday, September 15th, and then it'll be an episode a week after that.
That's dope. So all my crimeys out there, you hear that? September 25th?
No, September 15th.
September 15th.
You know how you'll remember it? It's the weird Hispanic Heritage Month.
Oh, that's right.
They don't give us a whole month. They give us two halves, half of September and half of October.
Yeah,
this starts at, this starts on the 15th of September.
So September 15th, man, you guys make sure you subscribe. I'm going to have a link to the podcast on this episode right here. So make sure you go into the description, click the link. go sign up, go leave a comment, man. Let's blow this thing up, man. It's dope podcast, man. Really interesting. And again, so Alex, where can people reach out to you if they have any questions or anything?
I mean, social media is probably the easiest way. I'm at Angry Yuka. So AngryYuka.
You hear it, man. Hit the homie Alex up, man. Tell him you like the podcast. Tell him what you like about it. Tell him what you want to see him do next. And here we go. And coming back, we're going to come back. We're going to talk about this PNB Rock situation with James Adis, Gangsta Chronicles. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that is spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure. To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
What's happening? Y'all know what it is. It's another episode of the Gangsta Chronicles podcast. It's your boy Big Steel with the homies.
Big J.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of stuff that's been going on in the streets of L.A., man. Just yesterday, man, we lost PNB Rock. You know, he was gunned down out here, unfortunately, man, at a restaurant with his girl. There's been a lot of conversation about it, man, about what's going on in L.A. and just the situation at hand. I'll tell you, me for one, man, I am so tired of hearing the brothers about brothers losing their life, man, over chains and silly shit, dog. You know what I mean? What happened to the days, man, when you robbed somebody, man, you let them walk away with their life?
I don't know those days. I mean, some got away with it, some didn't, but...
Yeah, shit. Niggas used to get jacked for dating and shit. So, hey, it ain't nothing new. You get me? Right. I guess because a lot of the rap cars been gunned down. You feel me? I was reading a quote from my nigga Ice-T today, and my nigga Ice-T said something like, it's certain codes niggas follow, you know? Like, you don't catch too many niggas, you know, flossing jury, you know? I mean, I never got into the jury thing back in my high, you know, my high rise days. It was just something I never got into. I'd fuck around, put my money into a lowrider or some shit like that before I ran out and bought, you know, $200,000-$300,000 worth of jewelry. I don't know. I guess, you know, it's a different time. It's a way to show your status nowadays, I guess, as a rapper. But, you know, a lot of us old school cats, you know, like Ice-T said, we didn't buy a lot of jewelry. You didn't see Cube wearing a lot of jewelry. You ain't see Dre wearing a lot of jewelry. Myself, Quick, you know, a lot of L.A. stable artists, you know. I don't know if it was something that we wasn't into or it was just something we didn't do, but I wouldn't have been caught walking around just, you know, on the floss tip, you know, with $200,000-$300,000 worth of jewelry. And, you know, niggas is hungry now. It's just a different code, I think. You know, yeah. What niggas is ready to run off and take off. Because, like I said, niggas used to get killed for Dayton's, James. So, you know, it's really not no, I guess it's what a nigga want to hit you for. You get me?
Right. You know, hey, and it's funny, because I saw you, man. I remember I saw you one time. I didn't stop and talk to you or nothing like that, because you was with your girl. You was in the Lakewood Mall. You was out there regular as hell. You didn't have no jewelry on. You didn't have no jewelry on. And this is at the height of you being MC8. This is like a few years after Menace came out. Like, you was that dude at the time. And you was just bailing through the Lakewood Mall with your girl, man, like it was the thing. I said, that's MC8 over there.
I always right. tried to be low-key. Like I said, I wasn't one of those dudes who was, you know, glorified by the fame of the rap side of it. You just give me my check and let me do some records and let me spit some shit. I didn't want to be the floss nigga or the highlight nigga. I wanted to be, you know, like, shit, let me put on regular ass whatever and put a hoodie on or a beanie and, you know, I didn't want to be recognized.
Well, the times is different from the 80s to now. This 2000 generation is starving, like for real. And then what do they got? You know, this ain't sitting on the corner selling cocaine no more. No. You know, that shit drying out. What do they have? So now there's home invasions. Now there's robbing motherfuckers at the store. We talked about this. So by any means necessary, and anybody can get it now. So when is the rappers, all these cats, these rich people, going to learn that flashing a gang of jewelry and your money ain't going to work? My nephew, brother's girl's son got killed in Hollywood this week. Flashing money. You know, that's what these cats is hanging out for. You know, it's a come up. They don't want to get a job. It ain't about going to get a job. This is easy money. And they don't give a fuck if they take a life to get the money. So, you know, people just need to stop and be aware of their surroundings, especially in L.A. L.A., you hear it in a Dove C song. Who else spoke on it? You said Ice-T. You know, a lot of them tell them to check in when they come to L.A. You know what I'm saying? And they have to. They have to know what the hot spots are. Some of these cats come out here to make their music and do their thing, but they got on $300,000 worth of jewelry. That's an easy fucking come up.
Yeah, and I damn sure would have told that guy, man, don't go with that Roscoe's over there.
Right.
You know, you better off, and don't get it twisted, because you can get got at that one on Sunset and Gower too, but it's less likely. You feel what I'm saying?
That one over there got an armed guard that's ready, that's with the business, and he ready, and he at work.
It's crazy how, you know, and I won't say, you know, because I used to go to Chicago a lot, you know, in my, you know, high days and movie days and all that shit when I used to tour. I mean, I did a movie, you know, that never came out. It got seized. It was called Reasons. I was in Chicago for about 2.5 months. So I used to float around a lot, you know, by myself. I had a car. I had an apartment. You know, a couple of homies came out there and shacked up. You know, we got them apartment. So I was in Chicago for about 3 months. I used to float around everywhere. But if there were certain areas that niggas recommended that you don't go to, then I would heed that advice. I'm a nigga from the streets myself, and I was, you know, niggas younger then, so I was feeling like, shit, nigga, we gonna smash. But I was a nigga who took heed to, hey, my nigga, you know, if you ever don't go over here or blah, 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 you gotta heed them stories. Now, I don't know him and his female, you know what I'm saying? They in the whip, they rolling around. I'm sure they probably staying somewhere, you know, fancy enough in the area. I'm sure they not staying around the Manchester, you know, Main Street area. You get me? San Pedro, that area. You know, we all know where Roscoe's is. I've been there several times myself in the early days. You know, that was the only Roscoe's we used to pull up to. You get me? But, you know, and we knew the precautions of going to that, you know, that Roscoe's, you get me? Shit, you might get into some shit. That was a motherfucking vicious area. So
yeah, they're not playing no games over there.
Oh, no, they're playing no games. I mean, you know, so who knows what the mind state of him and his female when they say they want to go to Roscoe's. Where, what area they was in, who knows? Why they got took to that Roscoe's, who knows? But you got to know where you at, man. And you got to know your surroundings. And I'm pretty sure somebody done infoed him, or they have to let him know, man, that ain't like an area where you, like, you know, can go and it's, you know, they done reorganized and you got white people rolling around on the little bikes and walking their dogs and shit like that. Ain't one of them areas. That's a vicious spot. So I don't know if he felt like he was, you know, affiliated enough, that he felt like he was street affiliated enough that he could go there. But sometimes even that attitude to get you in some bullshit. You know what I'm saying?
But see, this is the thing you got to look at, y'all. It don't necessarily have to be those dudes or that hood that actually went in there and did this. Niggas, once they get a location, motherfuckers know where you at and know a time, they're going to be there. They're going to hit, run around the corner, get in the car, and bounce. Now, who gets to blame? That hood. Anything in that immediate area, whatever hood that is, we know, and we ain't what you call it, is going to be blamed for it. You know what I'm saying? See, people be putting shit on social media, like they say this girl did, posted a picture of Roscoe's and dropped their location. For what? You know, y'all.
Yeah, like you said, that's the thing. But from what they done said, the police reports tonight, he did the same thing on the backside of the parking lot when they pulled up. He posted that they was at Roscoe's.
Okay, they both fucked up. He shouldn't have posted that shit. Eat, bounce. They're not doing that.
That's one thing about me, man. I don't be, you know. And a lot of the women, you know, some of them, they like to post, you know, show they out on the date, you know, look what we eating, you know, you might want to come to this spot, you know, it's different, you get me? Like you said, it's motherfuckers who just sitting there looking at your pages, especially if it's niggas who's on a mission, and you done took that.
I made a prediction. I said, it's not going to be good for L.A. rappers California rappers in general to go to certain places down south or whatever. Do you believe that? That from this happening, Pop Smoke and all the other ones that got killed out here, do you think motherfuckers are going to start laying the law down to the California rappers that go out of state to perform?
I don't think so. I don't know, because myself, I still go all over this motherfucker. And I've been to summer everywhere. And I don't feel like if you know, when you win this game, it's at your own risk. You get right. me? That's what it is. I mean, you play at your own risk when you win this game. And a lot of dudes aren't humble enough. You get me? I was a humble nigga, man, because I knew coming from where I came from, I know that shit can happen anywhere, anytime. And we ain't the only niggas that's fucking greedy out here. You get me? If I always used to know, nigga, if we greedy like this in Compton, I bet you them niggas down in Texas in the projects or them, they greedy too. Or the niggas over in Chicago, whatever, they greedy as fuck too.
So you
or
the know, niggas over California niggas slipping, hanging out, posting, and they know where you at. Is it easy hit? You don't think they'll try it?
I mean, I think anybody's an easy target. Yeah, if that's
don't
the
get it twisted, James. Jack in New York.
If I was one of them braggadocious ass niggas, and I was one of those, like I said, it's a different time. You get me? Because I respected niggas when I went to their towns. Or I didn't make niggas feel like alienated when I was doing that type of shit. Some of these niggas are on that. So when you go to a nigga town, sometimes niggas be waiting to get you. I never experienced that because, like I said, I always tried to humble myself and I always try to put myself in a position of like respect where you at. That I always, you get me? Shit, right. Niggas do that shit to you at the house. Nigga, you know where you at? Nigga, I know where I'm at. It's all good. You feel me? You just got to show that respect.
You know, one thing, James, hold on real quick. I'm going to tell y'all one thing, too. It could have possibly been the neighborhood, James. It could have not been. It could have been a passerby. But I'm going to tell you what happens. Sometimes when these cats walk up in these restaurants, please believe that the homie that's picking up the dishes at the table is going back there texting so-and-so, man, guess who just pulled up in this motherfucker and he's shining. Or it could be the little broad that worked at the little front counter that might have set a nigga down. Oh, guess who came in here and he was stunned. Not that they necessarily trying to line a nigga up, but just running their mouth. Or they're trying to set a nigga up. Here he come. You think about it. If you working up in Roscoe's or somebody and you done made you a couple of dollars before everybody's lining niggas up, what's to stop that from happening?
Nothing. I mean, it's all type of scenarios and all different types of things that can happen here. And what I'm saying is, when you look at social media, you see certain guys, I ain't gonna name them, but they're talking about niggas need to come and check in, right? Mm-hmm. And such and such getting a shakedown. Now, this check-in shit been going on a long time on certain individuals that come to California and they're getting squeezed because they got to check in. Puffy now, you know, coming to Compton, you know, they paid for, you know, their protection, you know, to be around. So what I'm saying is, with all of this shit you hear on social media and me, let me tell you how I would think. Okay, these motherfuckers got us fucked up. Now, we're going to see if they check in when they come to our town. I'm just saying, hypothetically. You know, a motherfucker could be thinking, okay, if they grind me like that, we could be grinding too. So now L.A. is going to do a show. But we ain't tripping off that because niggas ain't really tripping on, you know, L.A. niggas because they know they with the business. So we kind of like don't think what the possibilities of. You feel me? So here I am in New York, say for instance. You know, I don't know where Pop Smoke from. I don't know where this other little youngster that just passed from.
C&B Rock was from Philly.
Okay, so if we was in Philadelphia, that nigga got friends, families, whoever out there. So they might say, okay, let's get one for our nigga. You know what I'm saying? Hypothetically speaking. And we ain't paying attention to it. Now, we go out there, we get killed. They take our jewelry. You don't think it's possible that motherfuckers can think like California dudes think? And it might not have been a gang member. It's somebody thirsty, somebody out there doing robberies. You know what I'm saying? You can't even lift your garage up without 3-4 niggas running in your garage today.
Yeah, for real. You know, James, what the fucked up part about all this is, man, it gets highlighted because a person is an individual. No, they're a person, they're a famous person. But, man, it's literally somebody that gets shot out here every day behind their jewelry, man, that don't get reported on.
I believe it.
You know what I'm saying? My son got a gun put in his chest. Thank God that they spared his life, you know? And here's a list of California rappers, man, of people in California going back to a while. You remember Charisma 8?
Yeah.
He was one. Him and Peanut Butter Wolf had their little thing jumping off back in the day. He was one of the first ones. Seagram, rest in peace, Seagram, the homie from the Bay. Notorious B.I.G., you know, getting a little bit more. Notorious B.I.G., Dollar, The Jacka, Nipsey Hussle, Pop Smoke. Now we got P.50 and B-Rock, Drake, Yo, the Ruler. This man, you know what? And yeah, like
Slim,
I said,
Slim 400.
Slim 400. It ain't just the rappers, though, dog. It's like literally every day you hear about somebody. Everything ain't a homicide necessarily. But you hear about every day somebody getting robbed. You know, the one cat the other day, who was the fool falling down the stairs and stuff, talking about he was fighting for his chain. I heard he really slipped and busted his lip. What's the cat's name? What's the cat's name, man? Because I don't be keeping up with them youngsters like that, eh? What's the cat? They were just talking about him. But dude talked about he fought for his jewelry, and the homie saw him, he really fell down the stairs running and busted his lip. I told him, Cameron, yeah, I was fighting for mine. They didn't get my chain. No, nigga, you was hauling ass and tripped and fell down the downstairs and bust your shit.
He put too much on him.
Well, that's the move. Like I said, that's the move nowadays. Motherfuckers follow you home from being out. Motherfuckers run up in your establishment with the snatch and grab or the smash for the jury. Niggas will catch you in a fight and then snatch your chain. Now it's like,
yeah, my bad. Now, it cut off. It's the Sauce Walker dude.
Okay. Yeah. I heard of that. And I think dude shot somebody.
Yeah, he's denying that he's the one that shot somebody. And this is downtown L.A., man.
Yeah, I read about that story, too. Somebody had an argument of some dude. And he thought, I guess, dudes was going to jack him or whatever. And somebody shot somebody. I don't know. But that's the move nowadays. You get me? Whether it's jacking somebody, like I said, whether it's home invasions, whether they running up in the store snatching purses, whether they, just like downtown the other day, dudes ran up in there and was trying to smash the jewelry and grab the jewelry, but they couldn't break the cases, and the people was trying to fight them off and all that shit. I mean, it's like the get-rich-quick scheme nowadays, you get me?
I'm going to tell you now, man.
It's like, I ain't putting it on, just the youth or whatever, or just misguided or whatever, but it seems like it's what they say nowadays. It's the viral thing now, you get me? We run up in somebody's shit and smash it and steal the jewelry or follow a nigga home. Nigga, fuck, motherfucker, you could be walking your motherfucking French bulldog down the street and a nigga gonna jump out and snatch your dog because they looking at it like, I could sell that motherfucker for $3,000-$4,000. And then some of these dumb motherfuckers is just dumb enough to just keep the shit that they you get me? Because they want to floss. So, nigga, I'm gonna steal your dog and that's gonna be my dog. I'm going to snatch your chain, and I'm going to get my dumb ass on the internet and show a motherfucker that I got the chain. You get me? It's what happens nowadays because that's the move. And I get, like I said, I don't know if it, but I know I ain't no nigga, you know, or niggas in my age group running out there, you know, smashing jewelry cases or jacking motherfuckers for dogs and shit like that. Niggas is just real, real greedy nowadays. And like I said, and the advice I give to a nigga, you know, unless you walking around with like SWAT security, you know, 10, 15 niggas, whatever, don't wear your shit.
You know what, I'm going to tell you this.
Don't wear your shit. Just yeah. don't wear it, you know. We know you got it. If you want to show a motherfucker you got mm-hmm. it, take a picture and put it on Instagram like they take the pictures of the food they eating or the shoes they wear. Nigga, take you a picture in your jewelry and then leave that shit at home. Because right. if you trying to prove a point, oh, I'm on, nigga, I got all this, you know, it's a mistake. Because if a nigga think a nigga here, well, I ain't just gonna say here in L.A. Nigga, it could be anywhere. If a nigga think he can get you, I'm gonna get you. I mean, fuck. I'm a menace to motherfucking society. You feel me? Ain't no rules. If I can get you, I'm gonna get you. My advice is give a shit up and try to give it up quickly. Here you go. Take that shit. I don't know what happened because, like they said, it was a robbery. So get your shit up pretty quickly. You get me? Don't hesitate with a nigga try to play hero or whatever. Motherfucker, nigga got a gun in your face and say, give me the shit. Give me, nigga, quickly. Here you go. Let me tell you how to clean that motherfucker shit too. Nigga, man, you're going to be happy with that motherfucker chain when you put it on, my nigga. Good luck. Shit. I'd have been like, just let me finish my motherfucking food. You gravy. Here you go.
The average cat with his girl, let's say he with his wife, and a nigga try to rob him, the first thing he gonna think is, I can't just give it up because my girl.
Man, I don't get nigga, man. Fuck you all don't know me shit. Here. Nigga, you got a pistol in my fucking face, and I ain't got my heat. Nigga, you can add it. I ain't trying to play hero for the wifey. Wifey, you know what it is. Shit, you rather a nigga play hero and be dead, or you rather a nigga go home with your ass and I can replace that jewelry or that fucking purse? You get right. me? Get right. that shit up. I mean, you know, I get it. And like, yeah, that's true, James. Some niggas will take the motherfucking attitude like, fuck that shit. Nigga, I ain't finna just give up my shit. But then, like I said, what you supposed to do with a pistol in your face? How can you argue with that? That's no debate. Man, you be the hardest nigga on the block. I don't give a fuck. But you got to be smart, too, man.
Right,
and then
right.
your broad is right here. What you going to do? You'll get her you smoked, gotta be, too?
You got to give it up, man. And that's
man, what I shit, I'm going to have my shit up, and I'm going to tell my broad, nigga, give me your purse. Well, you got some shit in there? Here, you want this shit up out of here, too? Take that, too, my nigga. Car in the back. Great Cadillac. You can have that shit too.
Thank you.
Well, that's just the real man, because you know what the thing is, man? The thing is, if you do have all that jewelry on, insurance ain't shit but a couple dollars a month, my nigga.
I'm sure some of these niggas are smart enough and somebody's done told them.
Yeah, you know, get some insurance jewelry, for your shit,
get
man.
Get that jewelry insured. Just get that it way, insured.
Because I'm going to tell you
gotta
this.
You got to wear $30,000, $300,000 in jewelry everywhere you go. You don't have to. Everybody recognize who you are. Everybody know who you are. So if I'm going out in public, I'm not taking security, just me and this girl, me and my girl, me and my wife going, I don't need to bring that type of attention to me. This is what I would think.
James, you know, I think we live by that code, like, you know, because a lot of niggas in the streets getting their money, and niggas wanted to stay low-key and didn't want to be, like, sought after. So I think we live by the code where you play, you get me? You remember niggas be millionaires, nigga, riding around in khaki suits and shit.
Right.
You get me? That's like, we wanted to play low-key with the bread. The symbol now today is I got to floss harder than him. You get me? Oh, this nigga on the plane with this and this. Oh, so now I got to go take me a picture on my plane and how we whoop-de-whoop. Oh, this nigga got the push-button double R Rolls Royce or whatever. Oh, man, I got to go get me one of them. Oh, so-and-so got 4-5 chains on. I got to go have 10 on. And that nigga got 3-4 watches on at one time. I got to wear 4 watches. You get me? Right. It's the status symbol of how the MCs and the artists, I feel, is how they show their you know, achievements or their status. Oh, nigga, you get me? I can't just be walking around in some motherfucking $20 motherfucking flip-flops and some $30 shorts. You get me? Niggas don't feel like I could stand on my name alone or some shit. You get me? You get me? The work you put in and what you done, the contributions to hip hop and all what you sold, that should be your status to floss. But to some, it's not enough. You get me? Because this is the day and age of flossing. So I gotta go buy me $300,000 worth of motherfucking jewelry. I don't give a fuck if my motherfucking check ain't but for $500,000. I got to go spend $300,000 on jewelry.
Yes, you get movie me? Shit like that. Yep.
Because it's the status symbol. You get people going. It makes me feel like people going to recognize who I am more if I got on more chains than he do. But and that's the way we did. But we do. Like I said, me. I mean. I never got into the jewelry thing, so it wasn't a thing for me. But to some people, hey, I'm going to go buy me a $50,000, $100,000 Rolex, and I'm going to go buy me about 10 Cubans and some Platinums and triple, you know, VVS diamonds and all that shit. So you can't come to the hood in that shit.
Let me ask you this. I think, Norm, you can say it better. Do you think that we need to stop hollering? Why are we killing ourselves? You know how everybody say, why are we killing ourselves? Why we get mad when the white man kill us, but we killing ourselves. Do you think people just need to stop talking that Black Lives Matter shit?
You know what I think, man? I feel what you're saying, James, and I said something about that earlier. What amazes me about our people is that we get pissed off when the police kill one of us. You know what I mean? We get pissed off. And in some cases, man, you know, I've seen brothers acting out, man, where they kind of ask them to get handled a certain way, right? But I think we need to be just as upset when shit like this happens. Like, where's the outrage off of this? Because I see more excuses than anything else. Well, he shouldn't have been there, or the girl shouldn't have posted the picture. How come the man can't go out with his girl and have something to eat without a motherfucker, without him losing his life? You feel what I'm saying? It's like we in a bad place, dog, where a motherfucker can't get in a car, go to a restaurant. Roscoe's Hill's like a California tourist attraction. When people come from out of town, all my people, when they come from out of town, the first thing my cousins say, let's go to Roscoe. You know what I mean? It used to be M&M's a long time ago. There's certain places that people from out of town don't want to go. Why keep making excuses for these motherfuckers that we know have been out there jacking, robbing, and killing motherfuckers for the last 30 years? I see it all the time on social media. It's some horrible niggas that don't lost their life, dog. Niggas that you just knew was doing wrong. It don't even surprise me when I hear about it. Oh, such and such is dead. Wow, I didn't see that one coming. He only been robbing and jacking niggas for the past 30 years. And people actually feel sorry for him. Well, he was a victim. It's because of this and because of that. Man, we got to start holding motherfuckers accountable, dog. I think they need to make a law. If you kill a motherfucker in the act of robbery, or you pull a gun in the motherfucking act of robbery, it should be 100 years automatic. Your ass going to fucking jail and you never fucking getting out. If they did that shit, I bet you this shit is stalled out.
I don't think so, because niggas always gonna have the mentality, I don't give a fuck. And that's where it starts. I mean, like you said, I mean, everybody is discussing this shit, which I get, because he was a popular dude and everybody knew him and he was in the limelight. But shit, nigga, I know regular niggas who got smoked over rail.
Exactly, and that's what I'm saying, eh?
Like I know this. I knew niggas who got guns and pistols pulled out on them for starter fucking jackets.
That's you what I'm saying, eh? That's right. What I'm saying, because you know I'm doing some kind of work.
I grew up in an era where nigga pull up on you at a bus stop, nigga, and pull your motherfucking heat out on you and tell you, give me that motherfucking coat, nigga. And you be like, nigga, this fucking Lakers coat? Nigga, give it up, motherfucker. And if you don't, a nigga kill you. So, you, and that's regular Timmy from the block. You get me? That ain't PNB Rock or Pop Smoke or whatever. So, niggas gotta understand it like, this mentality has been fed and has been eaten off the motherfucking cancer or the streets or whatever forever. You get
man,
me?
Man, I'm gonna tell you this.
And the times that we are, you know, because now niggas, you know, we got rappers and, you know, it's, you know, they jacked him and you can't be posting where you at, whatever. But like I said, motherfucker followed Timmy home with a nigga from the Crenshaw one night. And next thing you know, nigga just shot Timmy. He laying in the street for it. That's what they call him, James. Killer fucking Davis. You get me? So it's unfortunate that... we have that, you get me? And like you said, James, do people need to stop yelling Black Lives Matter? I guess to an extent, it really, we have issues that we deal with the other race or the police or whatever to where I guess that is the feeling of we matter because we have gone through so much trauma as far as it comes with, you know, racism and police brutality and shit that people feel like Black Lives Matter symbolizes a lot more than just, you know, niggas like us who getting jacked and shot and killed on a daily basis and been doing this shit since the beginning of time, you get me? But we're affiliated with the streets and neighborhoods and shit, so... It really don't hit home like that.
Yeah, man. I was just gonna tell you like this, and we go end it all, fellas. We in some sad motherfucking shape. Cause my thing is this, hey, like I said and you said, it ain't just the rappers out here that's happened to. Cause I'm gonna tell you, when the motherfuckers put that gun in my son's chest, I felt some kind of way and still feel some kind of way.
I mean, like because it's right. Nobody wants nothing to happen to their children, right? That's the last motherfucker we want something to happen to.
And it's just crazy.
James, you don't want shit to happen to Lionel. I don't want nothing to happen to my kids. I mean, that's the shit you dread, that your children have to run into an incident that you probably are familiar with. You get me?
Because you don't know too hard. Yeah.
You get me? So
hey, like, you feel what I'm saying?
That's why I don't want my son to have to run into what I experienced as neighborhood shit. You get me? You don't want Chris that, like, that's some neighborhood. You get me? Like, damn, my son, I'm trying to prevent him from going through that. And next thing you know, a nigga done put a gun into his chest and jacked my nigga. You feel me? That's what you try to avoid for your children.
From the beginning of time, retaliation. If something happened, retaliation don't mean nothing but going out and seeking a motherfucker that didn't have nothing to do with it, or that person that's affiliated with the people that did have something to do with it. It's not never getting the person that did it.
Exactly.
Like Norm Phil. Okay, them motherfuckers whooped the whoop with my son. So if he felt the need to retaliate, it's going to get anything at random. And that's fucked up.
And I had niggas, James, you know, the thing is, I had homies that had hit me and were telling me it probably was these little niggas. You want me to? And it's like, no, what is the purpose? I'm glad my son got his life spared.
Now, exactly.
First and foremost, number one, fuck that chain. It had insurance on it. Fuck that chain.
Right.
Christopher, are you okay? I couldn't do nothing but drop the phone and say, thank you, Jesus. My son, right. Okay, fuck that chain. You good? Ain't nobody get hurt? Thank you, Jesus. Let's keep it moving. He learned a lesson. I told him not to get the fucking chain anyway.
But that's the lesson. Just like there's the lesson to be learned because you told him, don't go. Certain shit, you can't go. You right? just like with PNB. You think he knew about this Roscoe? I mean, you got to be familiar with the areas you go to, right? You know that, like, so you don't go. There's plenty of other places we can go, right? Right. There's plenty of other places you can go. So that, you know, I like I say, avoid the bullshit if you can. You get me? If you can avoid the shit, why not? You get me? If I got beef with some niggas and I know they over there, what am I finna do? Am I gonna go over there or am I gonna avoid the shit? I mean, sometimes you gotta avoid it, you know?
Right.
Sometimes you got to. You got to be the bigger man and you got to avoid your shit. Yep. Do I know niggas over here is doing this? Yeah. So is there a chance I might get into some shit if I go? Yeah, there's a chance. Is there a chance that I won't get into some shit if I won't? Yeah. So might as well just stay my ass at home.
Yeah, for real. So enough of that shit, though, Ape, man. It's depressing as hell. You got a new project out, right?
No, I'm working on a project. I got this Revolution in Progress project out. But we're working on a new project right now. I'm trying to finish up this lessons project. So we just working right now, getting it off the ground. Probably got a few songs we got to finish up. My boy DJ Premier just hit me with some scratches and shit. So I was waiting on that. That was like the last cut. So we're going to start mixing and shit, trying to get back cracking.
When we expect that to be in the store?
Shit, I don't even know. Probably in the next couple of months.
Hey, I got a little cousin living in Long Beach, the little nigga hard with music. How do I hook him up with you just for you to hear the shit that he be putting down?
Just tell him to send me an email. I know he got some tracks. Tell him to email me.
Okay.
All you gotta do is tell him to email me a couple of cuts.
Okay, then just tell me, let me know what you think about it.
I'll let you know what I think.
Yeah, okay. I'll get your ex email address, James. You know, okay. We gonna go on and shut it down, fellas, man. But something I want y'all to think about out there. I know it's hard, man. Being in poverty, everybody on this panel was poor as fuck growing up. Didn't have nothing. Think about it next time when you out there before you do something. I ain't gonna never tell you stop doing what you're doing or whatever, because that'd be an exercise of futility. Then ask yourself, is it worth taking that person's life? Because the way technology is now, 9 times out of 10, you're going to get caught. Especially when it's a high-profile motherfucker.
Right.
They are going to catch your ass. If it's just a regular Joe Blow nigga, they're going to take their time and move how they move. But if it's a whole high, it's too much pressure behind a high-profile cat. So you're going to get caught. Somebody's going to snitch on you. You're going to jail for the rest of your life. But when you take somebody's life, you don't just take that person's life. You take their mama's life. You take their brother's life. You take their kid's life. You take their daddy's life. You take everybody around them's life. So just think about what you do. I think if everybody paused for a second, James, and really thought before they did shit, it'd be a lot less bullshit.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, we just got to get you. Just think. You know what I'm saying? Think before you pop the nigga or whatever, you know what I'm saying, like you said, because there's a lot of shit that happens behind it. And it's just unfortunate, like you said. We all came from the dirt and, you know, being in poverty and whatever, and we all wanted shit growing up, you get me? We all wanted shit when we was growing up, and it was hard. It was always easy, you know, to serve a nigga or get on the corner or go rob a nigga or whatever. But, you know, a lot of that comes with the consequences of and the pitfalls of is what I used to try to tell niggas in records, you get me. It's fun and dandy when you jacking a nigga or you live in the high life, but when you get caught or when somebody gets smoked or whatever, it's unfortunate. Now you see the results of it. So, yeah, you know.
Why each and every individual should sit back and think. All these young brothers out here today, they need to take a step back and think. This ain't working for me. I need to try to get some kind of skill up under my belt and work that motherfucker. See, we need to get jobs up under our feet instead of doing this, because this is the hard way. I give it 5 years, half of the prison is going to be filled up with us. It ain't going to be the Mexicans. It's going to be us. Because we out here tyrants. We out here without a care in the world. And in 2022, we can't live like that because this shit ain't designed for us to be here, being reckless the way we are. So I think all these youngsters need to put the liquor, the weed, and all this shit down and just reflect on their life. All they got to do is ask themselves, where would I be in 10 more years from now? And half of them can't honestly say where they're going to be or if they're going to have a job because they're not headed toward that way.
Well, that concludes another episode of the Gangsta Chronicles podcast. Be sure to download the iHeart app and subscribe to the Gangsta Chronicles podcast. For Apple users, find a purple mic on the front of your screen, subscribe to the show, leave a comment and rating. Executive producers for the Gangsta Chronicles podcast are Norman Steele, James McDonald, and Aaron MCA Tyler. Our visual media director is Brian Wyatt, and our audio editor is Taylor Hayes. The Gangsta Chronicles is a production of iHeart Media Network and the Black Effect Podcast Network. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure. To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.